in making its decisions. The government shouldn't do so with an eye toward helping one religious sect or another. It should be neutral. And it shouldn't muck about in the affairs of the religious realm.
Former Attorney General Bill Barr speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Their brand of secularism is really about destroying and subsuming the religious sphere altogether. And that's what I say. The threat today is not that religious people are out to establish a theocracy in the United States. It is that militant secularists are trying to establish an atheocracy.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Bill Barr making the case against the progressive assault on the U.S. Constitution from this year's Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org. It is uncharted territory. For almost 50 years, the pro-life community has had, well, as its primary obstacle, the U.S. Supreme Court, the very entity that gave us Roe v. Wade, well, recently took it away. So what do pro-lifers do? There's an AP story, post-Roe differences surface in GOP over new abortion rules that tends to emphasize the differences of pro-life lawmakers. How bad is that disagreement or that difference? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Carol Tobias, president of National Life, joins us to talk about an AP story, post-Roe differences in the GOP over new abortion rules. Carol, welcome.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be back.
What is your reaction to the rejection of the pro-life amendment to the Kansas Constitution?
It was disappointing. It was heartbreaking. But I can't say I was surprised. I mean, this was the first initiative or the first effort out of the box after the Supreme Court decision. The entire abortion industry put their focus on Kansas. A lot of lies, telling women that if they can't get an abortion, then they could die from a miscarriage or an ectopic pregnancy. We had a pastor saying, respect women like God respects women. They have to have the right to choose. It was expected, quite frankly, at least on my part. I was not surprised that it did not succeed.
Tell us about what's happening post-Roe in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, Wisconsin has an interesting law on the books from 1849 that said no abortion allowed unless the life of the mother is in danger. Well, then the Supreme Court decision in 1973 wiped out all state laws. So in 1985, the Wisconsin legislature passed a bill that said no abortions after viability. That is something that the courts were willing to let stand during that period. So now in Wisconsin, people are thinking we've got a law on the books, 1849, let's put that into effect. And the governor, the pro-abortion governor, has gone to the state Supreme Court and said, well, the 1985 law is later, so that's the one we need to enact. So they are now kind of in a battle with the Supreme Court as to which law should be recognized as the official law of Wisconsin.
The Associated Press story under the headline, Post-Roe Differences Surface in GOP Over New Abortion Rules, emphasizes the divisions among pro-lifers going forward. How do you respond to that?
There are differences within the pro-life movement. We've always known that. There have been candidates who align themselves with, I think, most of the pro-life movement, that abortion is killing an unborn child, and only if the mother's life is in danger should that be recognized. But you've got what we call the hard cases. A woman who has been assaulted, she's a victim of rape. A woman who was a victim of incest. If they become pregnant, do they need to go through with the pregnancy and remember that moment for the rest of their lives? We've got, again, what some people would call hard cases. If you have a child who has some severe physical problem, a difficulty Are they going to be born, or can abortion work for them? So Republican candidates have generally just said, I'm pro-life, I oppose most abortions as they occur in the country. If you take even those hard cases, life of the mother, rape, incest, maybe some severe physical, I don't want to say deformity because that's just so wrong with human beings, but there is some physical problem that a child is going to have, all of that wrapped together is going to be maybe 5% of all abortions that are performed. The rest are performed basically for the same reason that a woman or a couple would use some form of birth control. So when pro-life Republicans are saying, I'm pro-life, they're saying, I disagree with most of the abortions that are being performed in the country.
Why are the situations of rape, incest, and danger to the life of the mother, why have they been longstanding exceptions legally?
I think it's just people wanting to be compassionate, saying that if a woman has been a victim of rape, she should not be forced to carry the child to term. There probably are some pro-lifers that would not even allow life of the mother exception, but they are so few and far between. There is no law on the books that does or would not allow abortion in that case as well.
How practiced are pro-life legislatures at compromising in order to pass pro-life laws?
Well, we haven't really had a lot of compromise when it comes to pro-life laws because the Supreme Court for almost 50 years didn't really allow much. I mean, we had some great laws on the books. Women have to be informed about possible complications and alternatives to an abortion before she goes through with the process. In the later years now, we've had states that have said the woman has to be told about abortion pill reversal, that if she changes her mind after taking the abortion pills, she may be able to save her baby. Some states had laws that said parents have to be notified before their minor daughter gets an abortion. So we had some very good, very effective laws, but by and large, we couldn't protect unborn children for the first 4 or 5 months of the pregnancy, which is about 90% of all abortions were taking place before that time. So I don't know that there's been a lot of need for compromise from legislators when it comes to abortion, because what the courts were demanding that the states allow was so far off the common sense radar that legislators didn't really have to work on so-called compromise, because what they wanted was not going to be allowed by the courts.
What other states are in the process of hammering out protections for the unborn?
Well, most of the states are either not in session or they have already dealt with the major pieces of legislation. South Carolina is currently working on a bill to protect unborn children. I know shortly after the Dobbs decision, West Virginia was looking at something, and that's kind of still going through the process. But most legislative sessions have actually wrapped up for the year, and I think they're waiting until after the elections so they can start fresh in January with, hopefully, a lot of new pro-life candidates being elected to work on the bills.
Describe the various ways that the states that already have put some laws into place have been restricting abortion.
There were 13 states that had what we call trigger laws, so that if the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, they had a law that was set to go into effect either immediately or within 30 days, something along that line. And most of them had life of the mother only exceptions. There were a couple that added the rape and incest clauses, but either they are in effect or are being challenged in their states. And even like now, South Carolina had a law that would have protected unborn children after a heartbeat could be detected, which is about 6 weeks into the pregnancy. The South Carolina Supreme Court is saying, well, we need to take a look at this because just maybe there is something in our state constitution that would allow abortion. So we're going to have a lot of the same problems we had with the Supreme Court, but it's going to be coming from state courts now, looking at state constitutions.
The AP quotes Joshua Wilson of the University of Denver saying historically GOP candidates and policymakers were in a politically convenient spot when it came to being pro-life. The AP goes on to say that Republican-controlled states could introduce legislation to dismantle abortion access, knowing that the federal courts bound by the law at the time, would block the most aggressive regulations. Is this true?
Well, it is true that the courts would block the most aggressive regulations, as he says. But I think, quite frankly, the Republican legislators, if they came right down to it, would be willing to eliminate 95% of all abortions. We are going to be seeing some jockeying, some lobbying, some back and forth, whether there should be exceptions in the states where they're ready and willing to protect unborn children. The question is going to be whether or not, like I said, there are some exceptions, but I think by and large, the Republican candidates would be willing to protect 90 to 95% of all babies, and then it may take, you know, a few years to iron out some of the other tougher so-called hard cases that might end up as exceptions in the law.
The AP story goes on. Polling shows the most extreme anti-abortion laws are at odds with the American public and even most Republicans. How do you respond to that?
I think it's interesting that the AP did not look at how the polling in America would jive with what the abortion industry allied with the Democratic Party is pushing. They really do want abortion for any reason, for all 9 months of pregnancy, and they want taxpayers to pay for it. That is far outside the mainstream of American thinking. So the AP is focused on any differences there may be within the Republican Party among the public or even among Republicans, but they are not talking about the huge differences among the public and the true Democratic Party position of abortion for all 9 months for no reason or any reason whatsoever.
The story also says that some pro-life candidates, and it mentions Herschel Walker in particular, are softening their language in opposition to abortion. Have you noticed that?
Not really. I know they mentioned Herschel Walker. He, at one point, was asked about abortions, and he said, exceptions to abortion. And he said, I'm pro-life. No exceptions. I'm pro-life. Well, I think some people talked to him and said that would even include life of the mother, which was his position. So I think maybe he's just finding ways to actually talk about his position on something that he probably hadn't really thought about before. I'm not worried about Herschel Walker or the other candidates really softening their opposition to abortion. It's a nervous time for some of them right now because they have to get through an election, and we've got candidates who have never really had to talk about the issue or focus on it that much, and they're trying to figure out what to say so that they can get elected, but that they don't offend a lot of people. So we've just got candidates all over the board on how comfortable they are talking about the issue. And what I am interested in is how they are actually going to vote. And I think we will see many of them standing up for the unborn child when it comes right down to having to make that decision.
Finally, what do you think the abortion laws will look like in the years to come?
For a while, we are going to have a patchwork quilt in the country. We've got states that are already protecting all children unless the mother's life is in danger. We have states that are going to be protecting children, maybe with a few of the so-called hard case exceptions. But we definitely are going to have states that are allowing abortion for all 9 months, at least six right now, that have absolutely no limits throughout pregnancy. And it's going to be a while. Pro-lifers are going to work hard, going to have to work hard to get some of those states to change.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. Carol, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Folks, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is offering $1 million in matching grants to local pro-life efforts in LCMS congregations. Learn more about the $1 million match at lcms.org/life, lcms.org/life. After the break, we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about the narrow door in Luke chapter 13. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc., is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Are you looking for a quality Christian high school education in the Lutheran tradition? Then Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois is your answer. We are continuing to accept applications and registrations for incoming ninth grade students and transfers for the 22-23 school year. For more information, please check out our website at melhs.org or call the school office and ask for me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.